Hey everyone, welcome to the Plus Platoon. We're a Disney Plus fan podcast that gives honest, spoiler-filled reviews of movies and shows on Disney Plus. We'll look at new releases, coming attractions, and we'll even go back into the vault to revisit some of the classic Disney that's on the platform. Make sure you're subscribed and you will never miss a moment. I'm going to bring in Kate. Kate, good to have you back.
Well, hey there, pal. Good to see you. How you been? It's so good. These 1950-something movies, that's how everybody talks to each other. Hey, now wait a minute here. Now see?
I was just hoping they were going to bring in the coconut bombs. But, Whatever.
You know, I was going to have a giant prank where I hired a French sheepdog to come in and take my place for the episode, and he would just bark. But I couldn't get him to arrive. We normally record on Tuesday, and this is Monday. So he's coming tomorrow. So unfortunately, it's just me.
Steve, help! Steve, help! Dang. Please help! I know. I know.
I got a small white cat instead.
Guys, if you haven't already, please like, subscribe, share. We got some fun shows coming up, and we got some interesting news we're going to have about the D23 panel coming out here in about a month or so. So stay with us and make sure you'll never miss anything fun. But for this week, we went back into the vault and looked at The Shaggy Dog from 1959. This was Fred McMurray's first of six Disney movies that he did for them.
Six.
Wow. Features Tommy Kirk, Annette Funicello, Tommy Corcoran. And the basic premise is that Tommy Kirk gets a enchanted ring and it turns him into a sheepdog some of the time.
It actually apparently merges him with a sheepdog.
It merges him with the sheepdog of the French girl that had just moved in, although her father's name is very, very Russian. I don't know if you guys noticed that. It's like Mikhail or something.
Sounds Russian. He didn't sound French either.
She's the only one who sounds French.
Well, when she speaks English, she doesn't sound French.
Because she can speak seven languages. Come on.
Oh, all without an accent. That's impressive.
How many can you speak?
Without an accent? No.
Yeah. So, turns out that her family, except for her, everybody associated with her family they are Russian spies. And I'm like, because I hope they're not French spies. That really wouldn't have made sense in the 50s. But Russian spies. And Fred McMurray is a ex postal worker who hates dogs with a passion and is allergic. And of course, it turns out that Tommy Kirk has to perform a deed of, you know, great heroic deed of some sort to get rid of the curse or spell or whatever you wanted to call it. And he does, and they end up keeping the dog that he's been merged with, because all of a sudden Frank McMurray likes the dog, and the French girl moves away to, did we ever figure out where she moved back?
They said she went back to Paris.
With who?
Her mother?
Just because of her dad and everyone, the butler and everybody is... been arrested for espionage and is going to soon be dead, I'm assuming, because, you know, it was the 50s and spies.
Yeah.
So, yeah, okay. So, there were a few plot holes, and of course, Annette Funicello, basically, it's him and this other guy, Tommy Kirk and this other guy, have been fighting over Annette Funicello's affection until the French girl comes in, and then the guy who not will be the other guy...
Buzz.
Of course, it's Buzz. tries to date both of the girls because he makes Wilby feel bad that he had never had a date, which, you know, okay. But right, she ends up picking some big, basically looks like the high school quarterback type person over these two boys from the neighborhood because they basically both went after the French girl and dumped her. So.
Except Wilby didn't. That's what I didn't understand. Like, I get her not liking Buzz, but
Wilby was more interested in Francesca too. And guess. Bobby was always over at Francesca's house because he was the dog. But anyway.
Well, yeah.
So what about this kept us entertained? What worked for this movie? And Pete, I'll start with you.
Well, what I would say is there were parts of this movie that were fun in a silly way. I liked the stuff at the dance. That was good. And I liked the chase at the end. That was good. And you know, there were some parts that I enjoyed. It was silly, but it was and it was, you know, typical. It was like, oh, there's a dog driving a car. Now everybody's gonna go, what? There's a dog driving a car, and nobody believes it, and you know, typical stuff. But I thought it was done well in an entertaining way in parts of the movie. I'll say that. What about you, Steve?
For me, it was probably one of the, after he shot the rocket out of the top, the roof of the house, and just the looks that they gave each other, the dad to the son to the dad, because being a teacher, just seeing those looks made me laugh out loud. And like you, I mean, there is the comic moments of someone turning into a dog at the wrong possible moment that for, you know, 1959, it worked. It was, you know, I could see people laughing at it.
Yeah. And I think my favorite part was probably, as Pete said, the chase at the end where he's chasing the spies, but he's the dog. So he steals Buzz's car and then the police arrest him, but he steals the police's car and then the other police go after those. It was a frantic chase, but it was very 1950s movie, especially 1950s Disney comedy movie.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the fact that they actually used a dog was good.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was not Tommy Kirk in a dog outfit. It was, they had a dog trained to do most of these stunts. Okay. Except for him. Okay. Not the guy driving, obviously.
It wasn't a dog. They taught a dog to. No, I thought some of the stuff they had the dog do was pretty impressive.
Yes. Kate.
Annette Funicello. Perfect casting. She's great. She's wonderful. She can do no wrong in my eyes. I actually really surprisingly like the casting of this movie. It just felt like the guy who played Buzz looked like a Buzz, man. Like, he looked like the type of guy who would do what Buzz was doing. And was it Wilby? Is that his name?
Yeah.
Just the look of the characters fit where if I had just sat and listened to this movie, it's what I would have pictured in my brain.
Okay, now.
I will say, Fred McMurray is such a dad. Like, he's such a dad.
Yes. Including he and the kid who played Buzz was actually his son on My Three Sons.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And Tommy Kirk and the kid who played Buzz were the Hardy Boys.
Really?
And Tommy Kirk and the other kid, Moochie, were both in Swiss Family Robinson.
And Old Yeller.
Yeah. Woo! They made some good money back in those days.
And no, probably they really not. Didn't. No, they really didn't.
So cheaper labor.
Although, speaking of money, this was actually the second highest grossing movie of 1959 behind Ben-Hur.
Wow.
Which is crazy
when you figure it beat out Some Like It Hot and a slew of other great movies. So,
North by Northwest.
Yes. A bunch of great, great movies on there. That being said, what should have changed to something else? What did not work for this? And for the first time around, give me your biggest thing that didn't work, Steve.
The dog driving the car. Like, for me, I turned to Nick and said, everything else I could live with, but that's when it jumped the shark for me. Like, you went too far.
That's what jumped the fantasy. Shark?
The other thing, I could have bought into it. I could go with this, but when the dog started driving the car, it was just like, too much.
Okay.
I have others, but I'll wait for round two.
That. I'm actually going to pass at the moment to Kate. Okay. Give her so it's not taken. So go ahead.
So just the way that they treated the women in this movie, where it was like, these girls are so stupid. These girls are so stupid that I'm going to go to the dance with both of them.
And they not figure it
and
out.
They're not going to know.
That is very 1950s.
It was 50s just comedy. The man has Annette Funicello in his car. Sir, you have bat so far out of your league. Like, you're not even the gas station next to the ball field. And this other girl pulls up and you're like, hey, see, I'm gonna go meet, oh, she's got a dog, I'm gonna go see the dog, like, and just leaves Annette Funicello in the, like, I was like, you have got to be kidding me. You have got to be kidding me.
Well, and he really had no, there was no consequences for Buzz for all the scummy things he was doing.
None. Nope. Zero.
Well, yeah,
none.
He lost in that Funicello.
Well, yeah.
And then like, and then Wilby, him being like, I want my $7 back, son.
And he never gets it. He never gets it.
No, it just that whole, and like, I get it. It was needed for the plot. But just the way that they made these girls look so stupid and made Wilby look also so stupid. And he was like, I need my money back. I'm funding your romance. And then he's like, oh, man. All right. Just come in the car with me, son. Like, I just can't. That's my one. Pete, go.
I know I don't like complaining about this with old movies, but the pacing in this movie was terrible.
Uh-huh.
Also agreed.
And it was a short movie. It was, what, an hour 40?
Yeah, it wasn't long, but, like, there were really, like, there was a lot of plot in this movie, yet there were still long, boring stretches in it. And, again, I know I hate complaining about pacing in a movie from the 50s because movies were done differently then, but... We mentioned some other movies that year. Ben Hur's got
a stretch of stuff where nothing happens.
3.5 hours long. But like Some Like It Hot and North by Northwest, those movies are like so well paced. And this movie, there were times in this movie where I wanted to turn it off because I was so bored.
Uh-huh.
So yeah. What's yours, Derek?
I would say for me, the biggest part is, okay, I'm going to do a minor complaint here that I know this was originally done in black and white, and that's how it should have been done. But when the Disney Plus blurb picture for it is in color,
what's funny?
And there was a colorized version done in the 80s for TV, so it was pan and scan, which I hate. But there was also a colorized version done in like 2006. For the whole thing, but I don't care that it's black and white. That was just a little thing. That's just one of those, really, you're trying to grab people to come watch this by making it black, by putting the picture in color.
It's still crazy to me that in 1959, so many movies were still black and white.
Yeah. Well, Disney was trying to film on the cheap.
Well, that's why they did it, because even then it was very expensive to film in color, not just the film stock, which was expensive, but you had to light differently and you had to dress people differently and everything like that. And it was much easier to hide flaws with black and white.
Well, that's what I heard. So, like, for the special effects, they chose black and white.
Yeah.
To cover up some of the
sense.
Yeah.
But yeah, for me, it was like Pete says, and my usual, it was the pacing. The fact that we never even find out they're spies till there's like 10 minutes left in the movie.
That was one of my other ones.
I mean, maybe it was 20, but still, it's, you're an hour into this movie. And so far, the whole thing has been, he's been turning into a dog some of the time. And so, it's just kind of there were much better done hour 40 minute movies in the 1950s and early 1960s.
Mm-hmm.
So, Steve, what else you got?
how the professor at the museum goes, oh, you changing the dog. Sorry, I can't help you. Go on your way.
Yeah, I got to go take care of this over here.
That was pretty nuts, wasn't it? You've done something unknown to modern science. Whatever.
Well, but I believe in shapeshifters, so you're it's all good.
But he wasn't really a shapeshifter, though. He like,
he merged. Yeah, which is weird. So, okay. So, my next question is, would a movie like this work today? And, okay, not would they try and make a movie like this, because they remade this movie with Tim Allen, unfortunately, but they had the dad be the one that changed.
Did anybody see it?
No.
No.
But would a movie similar to this work today? And you can't argue about pacing if you like Marvel.
So, wait. So you're saying, are you saying if they, remade this movie in today's world, or if they took this movie and just
No. If they remade this movie today, the concept of this movie, would a movie, or something very, very similar.
Yes. I think it would.
You think it would?
I think it would.
Okay. It would have to be a comedy, and it can't be the merging. It has to be changing into whatever, or coming back and forth.
I don't know. It's so corny. I don't feel like... I mean, let's put it this way. If you did it as a DCOM, maybe? Like a Disney Channel. I mean, now would be a Disney Plus original movie or something. I could not see making this a theatrical release and getting anybody.
Oh, I know who they'd get. I know who they'd get to do the kid, because he still does the kid, even though he's in his 20s or even his 30s. Have Tom Holland as Wilby.
Yeah.
No, he's. I think he's done being the kid.
Well, no. Time out. He just did another Spider-Man where he's back in high school.
No, they jump. So then this next movie, they jump 4 years. So it's
okay. So he's a freshman in college.
He would be his friends are graduating college. So he's playing like a 22-year-old instead of
how
old is he?
Look up how old Tom Holland really is.
27.
Is that all?
Yeah.
You got to remember. How long ago was Endgame, and he was had done multiple movies before that?
Yeah.
So, I think one requirement.
Right. Yeah, he's actually 30.
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, it's not quite as bad as John Travolta trying to play an 18-year-old, but or Stalker Channing trying to play an 18-year-old. But
well, that's one thing I got to give this movie, because back then in 1959, most movies with teenagers were being played by like 30-year-olds, and this movie was full of actual teenagers.
Yeah, Tommy Kirk would have been 18 when this came out, so 16 or 17.
Yeah.
So, to me, the thing that would scare me about them doing this movie today is they would have the dog be all CGI. Or motion capture.
100%. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Which is horrible. Although, let's face it, do we really want another Air Bud?
No.
So,
Air Bud doesn't talk, though, so.
Right. So, it's just a case of, I'm surprised they haven't tried it with like, a kid star or something like that, but, again, it's, to me, it would be an easy movie to do. It'd be a cheap movie to do.
Yeah.
So
I'm always surprised that Disney doesn't, like, they've almost killed their DCOMs, except doing sequels to Descendants and Zombies. Like, because I do think, like, this could make a entertaining enough, I mean, entertaining enough for kids, because this would be a kids movie. You couldn't really do this as a appeal to adults movie. I think it's just too silly an idea. And so it has to be a kids movie. You do it as an animated movie, I guess, because that's kind of what Hopper's, she was in a robot.
Isn't that also like Emperor's New Groove?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
So that's why I think it would work. I mean, you could do.
Yeah, it's just no one would want to take a shot on an unproven, because it would not be the number two grossing movie of the year.
But, unlikely.
Any other thoughts on Shaggy Dog? Can we also mention a couple of shout outs to the narrator? It was Paul Frees.
Yeah, he was also, I thought anyways, from the voice, he was the psychologist that was grilling Fred McMurray.
No, he wasn't.
He wasn't. I thought that was Paul Frees also. Okay. The narrator was definitely, I caught that right at the beginning.
And let's face it, it took me a little bit to figure out where I had seen Frieda Daniels before. It's Gene Hagen.
Yeah.
Lena Lamont and Singing in the Rain.
Oh, Lena Lamont.
Really?
Yes.
And I can't stand him.
Yeah, this was very much her real voice. So.
Wow. Was that the mom?
That movie.
Yes.
The mom, yeah.
Oh. That's such a great movie.
Yes, the very 50s mom where, yes, dear, but...
But at the same time, she kind of told him off a little bit. But yeah.
Yes. Yeah, the mom and dad felt very sitcom-y.
Oh, yes. Totally.
In this movie, for sure.
Okay. As we always do, we do cups of pixie dust out of 5 for the Shaggy Dog, Kate.
I'll give it a 2. It wasn't great. We've watched worse, but it wasn't great.
Yeah, I'm with Kate. It's a 2. This is one that I like, Derek. If they cut 20 minutes out of it, you could turn it into a 3. But as is, it's a 2 for me.
I'm a 2 also.
Yeah, we're going straight 2s on this one.
Wow,
and that's with that's with my nostalgia bump. It's a 2. So
it makes me wonder, because I much more remember the Shaggy DA, which was in the 70s, which
I think that's the one I'm remembering, Pete.
Right, because I think you and I probably saw that one in the theaters when we were little kids or something. But it's certainly on Wonderful World of Disney. And that one's in color.
And that's
but
Dean
it also
Jones.
Has Fred McMurray in it, I think.
Oh, Dean Jones.
Oh, Dean Jones is in it. Okay.
Dean Jones is Wilby.
Oh.
Yeah, so Wilby starts turning into the dog again.
Hmm.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. And he's a district attorney. And I don't remember the plot at all, but I just remember watching it.
And let's face it, Keenan Wynn's your bad guy because it's, a Disney movie. So.
Oh, I love when Keenan Wynn's the bad guy, though.
Oh, yeah. Okay, Kate, what do we got for Disney Plus news this week?
Just one thing for Disney Plus news. It is looking like Disney Plus is making some of its content free. While there is currently no timeline for this, it will undoubtedly be covered with lots of ads, even more than the already ad-supported tier. Woof.
Yeah, I'm not sure how I feel about this. I'm going, okay, that's just Disney TV, isn't it? Because the Disney Channel, when it first came out, had no ads.
Right.
And sometime in the 90s, late 90s, they decided, hey, let's put commercials in here. And then sometime in the early 2000s, they said, hey, it doesn't have to be a Disney property as long as it's for kids. So, yeah. Oh, hey. Next week, we are going to stay back. We're actually going to stay back in the 1950s. Yep. We are going to look at Alice in Wonderland. It is Alice in Wonderland's 75th anniversary.
Wow.
So it has been years since I sat and watched this the whole way through. I remember so many different parts of it, but we are watching Alice. What's the wow, Kate?
I like this. Well, one, I can't remember if I like it or not. Or two, I can't believe we haven't already watched this. And I'm looking up right now to see how long the runtime is.
It's short. It's I'm guessing like 74 minutes.
Yeah, I bet it's under.
It is an hour and 20 minutes.
Yeah.
So 80. Okay. 80 minutes. Yeah. I mean, it's a Disney movie from the, it's an early animated Disney movie. It's under an hour and a half, which, you know, they should keep in mind. But
yeah, I guess the WoW's just like, we haven't watched this already.
No, that's crazy. Haven't watched this already. For several reasons, but no, we just haven't watched this already. So, but there's not much coming out in July and August. So if you have suggestions, please send us an email at plusplatoon@gmail.com. Send us a message on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Gonna make a real quick plug. We will be going live the evening of the Disney Parks Experience panel. Because I'm hoping they stream it somewhere, even on, if it's not on Disney Plus, do it on the D23 stuff that they've been streaming sometimes.
Yeah.
But if they don't, we will have a reporter live there.
Who?
Me.
You're going to D23?
I am.
And
fun.
And has tickets for the panel.
Nice. Yes.
So we'll be getting live reports, even if we can't watch it. He'll be sending us stuff as soon as they announce
That's
it.
That's exciting.
So. Have you done it before, Steve?
No, this is my first time, so I'm excited.
I did it a couple of years ago, the one before COVID, I think. Whatever that year that was, 2019, maybe.
Tell Josh DeMario hi.
It's Neil Patrick Harris is doing the Parks panel.
Hosting the Parks panel, yeah.
So
they decided to get someone with a personality.
Yeah. I mean, I'm expecting several big announcements, so... we'll do a little bit of a preview show at some point for that. But, we'll be doing that on, I believe it's the 16th, of August. Now it'll be late Eastern time because it's at 7 p.m. Pacific. So whoever can be on. It may just be me reading Steve's tweets and talking to myself. I'm hoping not. But
I'll join unless something. What's the date?
Actually, it's going to be the 15th. So it's Saturday.
It's that Saturday, the 15th. Then
mm-hmm. The 16th is the Legends.
Okay.
Ceremony.
August 15th. I'll have to look.
Okay.
No, I won't. No, I'm going to be in New York.
Okay.
Ooh.
Okay. So I may be talking to myself unless I can figure out a former Disney employee that might want to join me. So, But that's going to be that. But we have new episodes coming out on, we can do new episodes of this every week on YouTube and all the major podcasting services for Kate, Willby, and Steve. Gina, we'll see you in a couple weeks and we will see everyone else next week. Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for watching this week's episode of the Plus Platoon. Be sure to subscribe to the Plus Platoon podcast to keep getting great content each week. Then head over to Apple Podcasts and leave those 5-star reviews as they help make the Plus Platoon visible to even more Disney Plus fans. Also, go to YouTube and like and subscribe to the Plus Platoon channel where you can watch all future episodes live. If you have a question for the Plus Platoon, please send us an email to plusplatoon@gmail.com or connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram @PlusPlatoon.
The Plus Platoon is a Disney Plus fan podcast and is not affiliated with the Walt Disney Company or the Disney Plus streaming service. All opinions expressed on the show are solely those of the individual hosts and in no way reflect the views of the Walt Disney Company.
Thanks for watching, and be sure to stay tuned for next week's episode because the Plus Platoon is to be continued.